Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
So I'm really glad you're here. I do a follow-up talk from Paul's four talks in January. Today is a really big day. I could do all kinds of talks for you guys. We got Super Bowl Sunday. I could be up here and have a theme for you on Super Bowl Sunday. We could have goalposts up here. We could really have some fun. For you guys know that I am the prop minister. I will bring in a prop. And because of last year's Super Bowl, you know, the very next week I was able to have a huge prop with the deflated footballs and everything like that. So I can't wait to see what they have to show for us tonight so I can bring a good prop in for you next week on there. The other thing I could speak about is Groundhog Day week. We just had that happen February 2nd. The days just keep repeating themselves and the days just keep repeating themselves. The days just keep repeating themselves. But the good news is Punxsutawney Phil did not see a shadow, so we have a very short winter. However, I got up this morning and they're saying Tuesday, snow in Atlanta. So it's like, okay, short winter, but we're having snow this week. So another great day. It's, believe it or not, it's Fat Tuesday already this week. Fat Tuesday. It's really early this year. Easter is in March this year. So it's really happening. So I could do a good Mardi Gras talk on there, mainly because what is it that we need to get up? We can sin and sin and sin until Tuesday, and then Wednesday we got to stop. So I could do that talk too. So many things I could do on this one Sunday. But instead, I want to do a follow-up with where Paul. Paul is one of the greatest teachers in the science of mind. If you haven't taken any classes with Paul, he had 35 people in his Creating Money class this week, and people are starting to realize just how great a teacher Paul is. So it's great that he is here. He has come out of retirement and wants to still be a part of religious science and especially our center. So I had several people in the lobby last week say, David, we need to be reminded of those four talks every week. Well, Paul and I and whoever's on this stage every week is really doing all four of those talks in the same talk. We remind you time and time again what this teaching is all about. I had another couple that said, David, we sure would like to hear that talk you gave a few years ago, and ever since then you've been trying to do it as an annual thing. We want to hear that talk again. So today I'm going to do both for you. I'm going to remind you of the four talks and give the talk that I did a few years ago, summing it all up. So I even had somebody just 2 weeks ago said, David, I'm moving to Falls Church, Virginia. Can you please remind me of your first talk in February so that I can go up there to Falls Church and whatever center I find up there, I can go there. There's not a religious science church in Falls Church. So if anybody's going anywhere to go for work and is going to be there on Sunday or something, check with us or you can check online where a center might be. There is not a religious science church, believe it or not, in the Washington, D.C. area, even Falls Church. But there's a huge, huge, huge unity church. So I said, I want you to go there because I've told you time and time again, the whole biggest thing about your spiritual life is your spiritual regimen. What are you doing on a regular basis contacting your spiritual side? So the four talks that he gave were the thing itself, the way it works, what it does, and how to use it. The thing itself, the way it works, what it does, and how to use it. I don't need 4 weeks to do it. I'm going to give it to you in 4 minutes. It's really quick. The thing itself is a bigger idea about God. The way it works is through you. What it does, it makes all things new. Those are the first three chapters. And how do you use it? How do we use this? How do we use this in our life and bring that in here? So before I go into that, I have a few aha moments I had in January. And three of those aha moments I want to share with you this morning. First, from my spiritual regimen. If you've been in class with me or even on stage on Sundays, I bring up my spiritual regimen. I'm an early, early, early riser. I'm up by 4 a.m. and doing my meditation. But before I go into meditation, I'm doing readings from the books that come out. That we have annual books that every day there's an affirmation. Or the Science of Mind magazine is a quote that I want to share with you, and that's what my whole talk is on today. Science of Mind is put out by Centers for Spiritual Living, and they come out with a monthly magazine. So I get up at 4 and I read those magazines and I read the affirmations and I go into treatment. But this minister in January in the Science of Mind magazine, he started using quotes from Raymond Charles Barker, and it was from a book called Barkerisms. And if you know this guy, he was very clear on this teaching. So we go through the Science of Mind textbook and read everything, but when people come and ask me, David, what's a better book that I can read? I always point them in the direction of a Barker book. Barker, Treat Yourself to Life, very clear on what this teaching is all about. The Science of Successful Living, very clear about this teaching. So that's where I point him. And Barker is our, Paul and I's teacher was Kennedy Schultz. Barker was Kennedy Schultz's teacher. So the rest of us, we are grandchildren of Raymond Charles Barker. And when you go to other centers and everything like that, some people say, David, that center is not anything like our center. And I say, yeah, because you know what? We're a center that really has come along the lines from Raymond Charles Barker. But his quote that really got to me this past month was this: an expanded experience will never happen until an expanded consciousness precedes it. An expanded experience will never happen until an expanded consciousness precedes it. You got to get a bigger idea about it first before you have that bigger life experience about that. That's one of the things I want to tell you. The second thing that I want to tell you is just to be very clear when you're announcing things about plans of what you're doing and I have this great idea, is I want you to ask this question. From what platform am I launching this idea? From what platform am I launching this idea? The third point that I'm going to share with you is just one sentence that I picked out of those four chapters of The Thing Itself, The Way It Works, What It Does, and How to Use It. There's one sentence in there that for me, for 27 years, have I been going back to that one sentence because it just sums up this entire teaching in one sentence. I challenge you to go back and look for your one sentence. I'm going to share that one sentence with you at the end. So I need a little bit of help. I'm the practical minister. I want you to see religious science. So this morning I want you to see religious science. I want you to see science of mind and how it works. And so for that to happen, I need three sections. Unfortunately, this auditorium has one section, two sections. So I've got to break you up just a little bit more just so that you can help me out. And how I'm going to break it up is in three sections. If there's one, two, three, four seats over and one, two, three, four seats over, all the way back, if you're sitting in the fourth seat or toward the aisle, you're going to be the middle section for me. Everybody from four seats over, you're going to be in this section, and I'm going to have a repeat after me. We don't do this in church normally on our center, but we're going to do it today. And then from four seats over this way and back, you're the third section. I love the third section over here because it's just the icing on the cake with that. So all the way over here, you're the thing itself. You're the thing itself. The middle section is the way it works. All the way over here is what it does. And how to use it is exactly what we're going to go through right now. So over here, this section, the thing itself, what that is was a bigger idea about God. What is that bigger idea about God? It's a bigger idea about universal mind, Allah, Yahweh. Of course, it took me 3 years to come here. I didn't want to hear the word God, only because my definition of God was so small and so limiting that whenever the minister was up here saying the word God, my mind would shut down because of my definition of it, not having anything to do with that definition of God. So over here, the thing itself is a bigger idea about God. In the Bible, I have to say this very, very slow or you'll misunderstand me. In Luke, it says, "Fear not, little flock. It is with you whom I am well pleased. All is given." All is given. So you guys are in the thing itself section over here. I'm going to have you repeat after me. The thing itself is exactly what I had just said. So fear not, little flock. It is with you whom I am well pleased. All is given. All you guys need to say when I point to you is all is given. So in this section right here, let's do it. Just repeat after me. All is given.
All is given.
Beautiful. That's as easy as it gets. Everything's been given to us. Now, the middle section, the four rows on this side and on this side, just stand tight for a minute. Just hold tight for a second. You're the section we've been struggling with to understand for thousands of years. So just kind of hold tight right here. The way it works, that's what you are, and it works through you. We've been trying for thousands of years to understand what's going on with us and this relationship with this over there. And now this section all the way on my left is the what it does section. And the what it does section is makes all things new. That's all that it does. It takes from the other two sections and it creates. It takes from the other two sections as law and creates all things new. And all you say in this section is, and so it is. So repeat after me. And so it is. There it is. And so it is. You guys are that section right there. So, we have a bigger understanding of God all the way over here. We have the section that makes things all things new over here. But what is it making new? And it all depends on this part of the law, on the way it works. And the way it works is through you. It works through you and your use of mind, your use of individual mind and your use of universal mind. And this is the very important section. This is how it works and this law works. Because it's through you that a pattern's going to be formed. It's through you where you get this pattern of wealth or lack. You get a pattern of health or sickness, a pattern of creativity or a lack of creativity, or a pattern of love or a pattern of lovelessness. And when I say pattern, I just mean this thinking that continually says, I can't afford it, or I am rich. You might say the flu is going around, the virus is going around, all of this is going around, or you could say, I'm the vitality of the universe. You could sit there and say, I can't find a job, all the good jobs are taken, or you could say, the perfect job exists for me. It just depends on what you're doing. So you see, this side says, all is given. This side says, and so it is. This middle section says, blah, blah, blah. So repeat after me, blah, blah, blah. There we go. So this is how the law works. Let's start over here. There's the law. You see it in work. Okay? Now that blah, 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 what is that? This time what you guys are going to say is, I can't afford it.
I can't afford it. And so it is.
Like that. The law works just like that. Okay? I am rich. Very good. Very good, guys. Now, do you see how the law works? That's how the law works. I want you to see how that law works on here. It all depends on that blah, blah, blah. So this is the way we get this religion, by saying God, me, and the demonstration. What is this? This is the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But we don't want to say that here because we don't like talking about that kind of thing here. So we'll put different words on there. So that's very religious. But it's scientific as well. The law works the same way all the time. The law does not care whether you say, I can't afford it, or I am rich. The law doesn't care. We have this theory, then we have the way the theory works and what it does. An example of the scientific way is announcing the theory of gravity. Paul talked about this last week. And I can do whatever I want with the law of gravity. And then the result, and so it is, the law does what it does. It doesn't say, I don't think that's such a good idea using the law of gravity this way. It doesn't say, I wouldn't do that if I were you. It just does what the law does. So it's the same thing with our spiritual law. It just does what the law does. The theory doesn't care. God doesn't care. There is only the intelligent or unintelligent use of this theory in this spiritual science. It's not a sin in God's eyes. So if we start having a life and we're saying, oh my gosh, it's a sin and things like that, we understand here in religious science, God's not punishing me for what I said or did. It's just a misuse of this law. That's all that it is, a misuse of this law. Another scientific theory is announcing of the Higgs boson. I love Sylvia. She's twice gone to Switzerland, and she's brought back to me a T-shirt with the Higgs boson on it. And if you know what the Higgs boson is, it's the God particle that they just kind of saw, found a few years ago. Physicists have been saying a long time and announcing for years that this thing, Mr. Higgs actually has been saying, this thing exists at the center of everything, this thing of energy. But no one's ever seen it until they did the colliding cylinder all the way in Switzerland, and when they collided two atoms and they went together and they saw at the center of those atoms what was actually there. And that's the Higgs boson. That's where the Higgs boson was discovered in Switzerland. And she brings me back something every time because I say, that's religious science. This is religious science. So the same thing itself is with the Higgs boson, the God particle, or that aspect of the universe that is nothingness and allness, all right there. When those cells collide and there's nothing but this thing of energy right here, it's nothingness and allness all at the same time. There is this energy, and it's ready to be pointed in any direction. And the direction is all is given. That's what the energy is given. All is given. You, the middle section that says, which way is this energy to go? The section on the right says, and so it is. The Higgs boson, this energy of life, is ready to come through and go in either a negative direction or a positive direction. It just needs a kick, and the kick is the blah, blah, blah section right here. So if you're blah, blahing negative things all the time, guess what you're doing? You're kicking that Higgs boson in the negative direction, and Troward says that just gathers everything to show up in your life as your manifestation with that. But just as easily is the Higgs boson ready to be kicked this way and follow all the positive things that are unflowing from that. So it's just this energy. And my third example is this auditorium right now. This auditorium is the thing itself. This room is full of infinite possibilities. We can have a lecture here like we have every Sunday. We can have a wedding up here and expressing love. We can have a musical presentation up here expressing joy. We can have a funeral up here expressing that end of life sense. But the auditorium doesn't care what we do with this. It's very neutral. It does not care what we do with it. It just sits here and says, all is given. All is given. And we announce the wedding, we announce the funeral, we announce the lecture, and so it is. We have that experience of the wedding, the funeral, or the lecture. Call it what you will, religious science. But it's just the way that we're using this universal spiritual principle. So Paul took 4 weeks to explain that, and he ended by saying, for the next 48 weeks, this is what we're going to talk about. And see how that law works right there? So for my first talk of the year, I wanted to research, what did he do as the first talk of the year? Ernest Holmes is the founder of religious science, and I came across this. And someone explained to Holmes that it might be a lot of hard work, this thing itself, the way it works and what it does. You have to put a lot into it. And he quickly responded, I don't put a lot in, I take it out. I take it out. He said it's like this 200-acre tract of land, a huge sprawling acreage. And if each one of us had one of these 200 acres, we each are given an acre. We could do whatever we wanted with it. We can take whatever out of it we wanted. Now, each acre is exactly the same. Each acre has the infinite possibility within it as the next acre. You are given an acre of life, and you can do whatever you want with it. It's abundant with money and love and health and creativity. All is given. All is given. And this leads to my second point of the morning. Which platform are you launching your idea from? We can do nothing with our acre. It's literally sitting like a bump on a log. It's sitting here in the blah, blah, blah section going, oh. So this is the platform, the center platform is where I'm launching that nothing idea from. And if I launch a nothing idea, what shows up in our experience? Not so much nothing as the law of averages. And so that's what I was saying. You're very correct that nothing good nor bad, it's just the law of averages that shows up there. We get the wind blowing seeds from the adjoining acre. We compare our acre with another acre. We judge that other acre. And we send up, and we end up with this acre of a mix of things. And we say, how did this happen? How did my life show up like this? It's because we did not do anything with that energy and kick it off in any direction whatsoever. This is launching from the middle platform, but just not a launch at all because we're not doing anything. We're not telling the Higgs boson to go in any direction. Or we can launch from this platform where all is given. With our acre, we can plant the crop we want. So the blah, blah, blah is, I want to plant this. And so what you're doing is you're actually coming back over here and understanding this law works. I'm going to kick the law into action and make it show up in my life. And so we plant the crop we want. We plant the seeds of our choosing, but you know what? That's it. We come from that all is given platform. We come to this teaching and we learn that it's a platform we need to be launching from, and we launch a good idea, but that's it. We don't water. We don't irrigate. We don't fertilize. We don't move in the direction of our abundant crop. We just kind of announce that, and then we sit there and say, well, this law doesn't work the way Reverend Barrett or Paul said. And that's just because we need to have this thing called faith. We started with a good idea, but we let it fall away. We announce the good idea. We plant a great crop. We plant a great seed. But then we go to work and we say, yeah, I go to this church and, yeah, we're doing affirmations and everything, but I don't think it's going to work. So guess what you've just done? You just pulled up your seed that you had planted that was going over there. So you have to kind of watch what you're thinking all the time. Or there's this third way. We can plant the seeds that we want and then take a step in the direction of our abundant acre. How do we do that? In religious science, I call this treat and move your feet. Treat is stand on this platform and announce the goodness of the job or your health or the abundance of the money in your bank account. Announce that. But then after you do that, step out into the world and act like you're abundant. Act like you're in love. Fertilize, irrigate, weed. Do all of those things. Treat for what it is you want in life, your crop, and launch from your allness, and then take steps in the direction of yielding this abundant crop. Treat, move your feet. The result, there's an abundant acre. My abundant acre. So I took out of the pure possibility that the acre had offered that Holmes spoke of. Does the acre care? The all is given part care what I do with that acre? Not at all. Not at all. That's why people get upset when I say, well, God doesn't care. They're like, God cares, God cares. It's like, God doesn't care. The acre is, all is given. Everything's been given to us already. So we have to understand the acre doesn't care. So does the so-and-so, and so it is section care? Not at all. Not at all. So the deciding factor is the way it works through you. This is when in week 2 of Paul's talk, he said, watch what you're thinking. Watch what it is you're doing all day long. Because you can't sit there and launch and then talk negative against it. You can't sit there and not launch at all. You really need to think about what you're thinking about it and do it all day long. So what platform are you launching your ideas from? This one, all is given, or here in the world of effect? Let me give you an example of launching from the world of effect, and I've got a few examples for you. But I can sit there and start off with saying, I know all is given, but I'm a middle-aged white man. And so it is. All is given. I'm black. And so it is. So I'm launching from the incorrect spot over here. And so what platform are you launching your ideas from? Over here, there are no middle-aged white men. There are no black men. There is no rich. There is no poor. There's none of those things. Where it is when we start getting used to it and we think, oh, we sit around and we look around and that person is white and that person is black. That person is rich. That person has a good job. I've got a poor job. That's where this happens. That blah, blah, blah section happens in there. So a woman came to me and she says, David, I want to treat for a perfect vacation, a perfect vacation. So can I treat for a perfect vacation for you? Easy enough. Perfect vacation. Just came back from one. Five airplanes later, it takes them to get back to Atlanta. That's a great vacation when you got to get on five airplanes to get back here. But this woman said, so I was like, oh, that's easy enough. Perfect vacation. And she said, well, not so fast. Her blah, 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 right? It's coming out. You see, my husband's in a wheelchair, and we can't just go on any vacation. The vacation's got to be very handicapped accessible. So I tried to point her mind in the direction of the best vacation ever. So she thought outside the box for a minute, and she thought about a cruise. A cruise would be great. And she envisioned the doors wide enough to the room for the wheelchair to go through so they can get in there, and how it was easy to get around the ship and everything. And I had to stop her right there in the middle of her saying she needs a room with wide enough doors with the wheelchair, because I said, why are you bringing the wheelchair along? You're arguing for the negativity of the husband in the wheelchair. Why don't you see about possibly him getting healthy enough that a wheelchair is not even in the picture at all? So she was fighting, arguing for her limitations, and they were hers only because right here, that's the way the law works. That was her blah, blah, blah. She was launching, starting off that, yes, the perfect vacation is mine, but then she used the negative part of it, saying, yeah, but, you know, we need to have this doorway big enough for a wheelchair. So we need to stand over here and cause and announce. Another example of where we launch from is from two people whose idea we're celebrating right now during the season of peace and nonviolence. If you know, from January 30th to April 4th, we celebrate the season of peace and nonviolence. It's from the anniversary date of the assassination of Mahatma Gandhi on January 30th all the way up to the assassination anniversary of Martin Luther King on April 4th. So this is what religious science churches are doing all during these 2.5 months time period, celebrating that. These two men standing up for the belief in something, not here in the blah, blah, blah section, they stood over here and told the rest of the blah, blah, blah section, you need to understand. So it's Mahatma Gandhi who sat there and said, there is no class in society. There is no class. There is no lower class, middle class, and upper class in society. That's what you need to treat from. You need to understand. All is given. However, in the blah, blah, blah section, social consciousness is, oh, we're British and we're proud of the classes. We're Indian and we're proud of the classes. So we have that lower, middle, and class. So one person here stands up and says, no class. No classes. What happens? He's assassinated. We don't want to hear that there's no class because we're very much in Joyford. But Gandhi sat there and said, all is given. Martin Luther King did exactly the same thing. Martin Luther King is sitting here saying, in race consciousness, there is black, there is white. We have laws that you can only use this water fountain and you must use that water fountain. There's laws that you need to use this bathroom and you need to use that bathroom. We have laws in effect because the blah, blah, blah section wants to protect that with all they can. You have a man stand up and say, all is given. There is no black. There is no white. I need to understand that that's where all of us come from. And so what does this one person standing in the middle of that society stand up and say, that doesn't apply? We kill him. We assassinate him. We don't like that idea. We want to keep our blah, blah, blahs tight. We want to protect what it is we know. But you have seers, you have people that come across and announce the truth of our being, of all is given to every single one of us. We're not in a race, we're not in a class, we're not in an age group. So you need to understand how that happens. So you need to launch from over there where there's not a class. Governments forever, religions forever have been launching from this launching pad right here. They've been announcing what is good behavior and what is bad behavior. There is no good and bad behavior over here. It's just waiting to go with whatever direction you're going to do, the misuse of the law. Also right over here, governments have been forever just sitting there saying what's good and what's bad, and we want to protect the blah, blah, blah section very tight. There is none of this. There is none of this. We just want to protect this. So I'm a Downton Abbey fan, and sure enough, just 2 weeks ago, they're quoting the Magna Carta, and I'm all excited. Oh, they've got the Magna Carta in there in Downton Abbey. And you know I'm a lawyer, and so the second thing that happened last week is I get my Florida Bar newsletter. I'm a member of the Georgia Bar, Florida Bar, and then the newsletter comes in, has this article on the Magna Carta, and I was all excited about that. And it just gives the history of a group of barons that got together and said, you know what? You're ruling from this platform. You're sitting here saying the king is above all and is all. And the barons in 1215 got up and said, no. You know what? We're bound to something else. You know what we're bound to? That. All is given. We're bound to God. We're not bound to the king. And what happened is, the barons formed this army, and it was called the Army of God. So they're trying to say, let's not look at this platform, let's look at that platform. And they went ahead and defeated King John in a battle at Runnymede. And they had him sign a document that gave freedom to the church, it gave freedom to London, and it gave freedom to the citizens. So then, sure enough, a few hundred years later, our U.S. Constitution was formed with this in mind, the freedom of the people, by the people, for the people, not just a king. That's where we're born from. So in 1776, we as a country announced, we will launch from this platform. We will launch from this platform all the way over on my left. We announced the universal law that doesn't care what we announce, and what we announced is we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. And then, what does this section say? So it is. If this section sits here and says you're going to be follow the rules of the king is the ruler of all, and give all money to the king, and what do you say? So it is. It's all that happens. So our forefathers got there and said, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. We announce that every person in our country has an abundant acre and that the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what we announced from there. That spiritual law just works exactly the same way it works. So not all countries have this. Some of them are still ruling from the king. Some of them are ruling completely from the government. Some of them are ruling completely from the religious aspect of it. They're right here in the blah, blah, blah and ruling from that. There's a small country out there that is not even making a lot of money or adding anything. It's Congo, because it's just ruled by the government. The government's not letting assistance in. They're blah, blah, blah is very tight. They're going to protect that. So this is why Ernest Holmes says, why are some people weak, poor, and afraid? They don't know this law. They don't know this. They've got fear. You'll say that they don't have individual rights there. It's the government keeping them down, and you're right. Race consciousness has given the power to the government in the Congo, and so it is. That's how it happens. Race consciousness in the U.S. has given it to the people, and so it is. So government keeps them poor, weak, and afraid. Religions have done this as well for thousands of years. You can see what's happened when religions let go of their fear tactics of God. When the blah, blah, blah was, you have a fearful God, a fearful God, a fearful God. When finally people started being around saying, I shouldn't be fearful of God. On there, you start realizing something happens. When fear was released, mainly because science have come along and said, we need to rethink this definition of God, this definition of us lowly people, scum of the earth, down here beseeching thee. When you let go of that, blah, 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 does life get better? So in the last 200 years, the world has woken up. The world has woken up with religion, knowing this better idea about God and the universe. Governments have woken up. They're waking up. This Arab world is waking up. What we're feeling right now with everything that's going on in the Middle East is a waking up. It's a waking up of we're understanding that religion is not going to be my controlling factor. My government is not going to be my controlling factor. The all is given is the give factor that's every single one of us. So now we're launching from the correct platform. So the world's woken up scientifically about these natural laws in the universe and how we can use them. So here we are on West Peachtree on February 7th, 2016, Super Bowl Sunday, and we're asking ourselves, David, you know what that Barker quote said, you have the expanded experience as preceded by an expanded consciousness. So if you're not having an expanded experience, guess what? You don't have an expanded consciousness just yet. That's what this teaching is all about, is to show you how this law works that easily. So, David, when I look around, I see suffering, I'm suffering, my bank account doesn't look like it's expanded. Other than my waist, my body vitality doesn't feel like it's expanded. My love life is not expanded, nor is my career. Why is that? Well, I hate to say it, you're just sitting here and you're not kicking the Higgs boson in any direction. You're just sitting here and not announcing the goodness of the universe that all has already been given to you and understand it's been given to you. You're not realizing just how powerful you are. You're not realizing you have an abundant acre. You're not realizing exactly how it is that you're using that abundant acre. So Robert Browning sits here and tells us, he says, it's only knowing ourselves as the mundane clod, just the mundane clod. That's all that we are. We don't have anything else backing us up. But this is what he says. The divine creative spark has impregnated the mundane clod. Very interesting. The divine creative spark has impregnated the mundane clod. As we're sitting here, there's got to be something bigger happening in my life. There's got to be something. There's something within every single one of us that's in here. Something is resonating with them. So the divine creative spark has impregnated the mundane clod, which now has the impulsion ad infinitum to evolve. The mind that sleeps in the mineral, waves in the grass, wakes to simple consciousness in animals, to self-consciousness in humans, and to God consciousness in the upper hierarchies. That's us waking up to the upper God consciousness. The Bible says, wake up, thou that sleepeth. Wake up. Lazarus come forth is not Lazarus come forth. Lazarus come forth is announcing, come forth. Come forth. That's what we're announcing. All saying the same thing. Holmes says therein is in us that thing which belongs to the universe. Walt Whitman said at the center of everything nestles the seed of perfection. Robert Browning called it loosening the imprisoned splendor. Sitting in our acre is the imprisoned splendor. How do we loosen that? Emerson says we are the beneficiaries of the divine fact. We are the beneficiaries of the divine fact. The Bible says, God made man perfect, but he has sought out many inventions. God has made us perfect, but we sought out many inventions. Our blah, blah, blah works perfectly. Those are the inventions that we have sought out. Einstein said, energy and mass are equal, identical, and interchangeable. Energy, and that's all of this over here, mass and point two, all of this are equal, identical, and interchangeable. Barker said, an expanded experience will never happen. This experience that you and I are living will never happen until we have an expanded consciousness of what it is. So we end the lesson today not just looking around at our environment like the groundhog. And if we stand here and just look around and think, oh, my goodness is going to come whether I see my shadow or don't see my shadow, then that's where my goodness comes from. We don't just stand there and do that. We don't announce from that level of understanding how our environment's going to unfold over the next few months. or announce that we bring along our wheelchair, or whatever it is that you want to try to bring along with you, why don't you let it go? That's secondary causation. Go to primary causation. Go all the way. All this means is what you see comes out of what you don't see. You have to have that. That was John's talk when he was up here and reading that poem up there. It's beclouded as though we're looking through a glass darkly if we're sitting here thinking this is where my good come from and comparing it to other people. But when we know something better about God, ourselves, and what it does, our life unfolds exponentially in better and better ways. So the one quote that I have for you from all the four chapters that I love is on page 39, paragraph 6 at the very bottom of the page. And it says, "As high as we make our mark in mind and spirit, so high shall be its outward manifestation in our material world." What he is saying, as high as we make our mark in mind and spirit, as long as we're standing in cause, as high as we make our mark in mind and spirit, so shall its outward manifestation be. So how high are you making your mark in mind and spirit? I'm just a lonely, middle-aged white man. And if you put that as your mark, the universe responds perfectly in filling that to that level. That's the outward manifestation in our material world. So I want you to go back, read those. It's just 26 pages, those four chapters, and find one sentence in there that really resonates with you. Emerson says, "Listen greatly to yourself and keep up the lowly listening." The Bible says, "Be still and know." Know this is the truth about you, that all is given. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. "Come unto me," the Bible says. Now, it's not "come unto me, Jesus." It is "come unto me," this race, this understanding of universal consciousness. Come unto me. Come to that. And when you understand that, all of this starts changing. So it's on this Super Bowl Sunday that we learn of this expanded consciousness that leads to our expanded experience. David says, "All is given, blah, 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 and so it is, and it is wonderful, and so are you," and so ends the lesson. Thank you. Let's go ahead and take this into consciousness and this understanding of what it is. Today we announce a huge launching platform for every single one of us. And the platform is the same for everyone at the farthest reaches of the universe to everyone sitting here in this room. But it's the same platform that every person in existence can launch from. But it's the platform we choose to launch from is what the greatest idea. The greatest idea is understanding this one universal intelligence, this one God that we're an aspect of. All has been given. Everything has already been given to us. So that is already there. And what we do is we affirm that all has been given, and then we step out into our world and we take steps in the direction of all that has already been given in that universal mind. We start acting in positive ways towards our abundance. We start acting like we're healthy and do something about it. I can't just treat for perfect health and then do damaging things to my body. I can't just treat for perfect love and go out and start cussing at everybody I run into. I need to move in the direction of what my treatment is for and the goodness of life that's already been given. That's how I move into that direction. I let go of the smaller ideas that the world has held on to for thousands and thousands of years, because it's on this day that a new idea has been shared right here. The idea has been around forever. It's just we come to a center, we come to a place that announces the greatness of the universe, which includes the greatness of each one of us. That's what this teaching is all about. I give great thanks for this understanding, and I release my word to law now, knowing when I walk out of these doors, I walk out of here with an expanded understanding of myself and my relationship with God. No longer do I just say blah, 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 but I understand the greatness all life has already given to me, and I claim it and move in the direction of all that is already there for me. This is the truth for every single one of us, and so it is.